Okay, yeah, we are going to talk today about Sukkos after Shemitah, our last topic. Mirat Hashem, yeah, it was cheaper. Mirat Hashem, our last topic in our series about Shemitah. Hopefully, we have enough time to finish it all. Okay, so we know, before I get to the Sukkos part of it, is Shemitah, the halachas of Shemitah don't end when Shemitah ends. For example, fruits, their halachas primarily tend to be after Shemitah. There's even some Svichin type rules that are after Shemitah we had. There's all different certain rules, and there's one special mitzvah that has nothing to do with Shemitah per se, which is the mitzvah of Hakel, which we don't do anymore, which is on the Sukkos after Shemitah. But we don't talk about Sukkos, mainly about the Dalad Minim, but also about Tzchach also, and what they have to do with Shemitah. Okay? And a lot of what I'm going to say today is related to, comes from what I saw on Rav Asher Weiss as something very well done about this. Okay? So let's do the Dalad Minim. We'll start with that. That's our main thing we're going to talk about. The first one is the Aravos. It's the easiest is the Aravos. Aravos are a piece of wood. Aravos don't have any, for sure, have no reason to think that they have any Kedusha Shvias like that. Of course, you can't do Malach on the ground to grow your Aravos tree in Earth Israel. But the Aravos themselves should have no Kedusha Shvias. There's no way that, so far, that I found anybody who's figured out a way that they should have Kedusha Shvias. Yeah. Okay. Next up, we'll get a little step up, more complicated, is Hadassim. So if you remember, we spoke about some time ago that something that's meant specifically for fragrance, something that the people use specifically, they like the fragrance of it, it's a shayla in the Yerushalmi, and as a rule, we're machmir on that shayla, and therefore, it's these people work with an assumption that Hadassim have Kedusha Shvias, because they're sold for their fragrance. I mean, think about Svarim making Hadola, and they use Besamim, for their Besamim, they use Hadassim. It's therefore assumed that they have Kedusha Shvias, which means it is their Hefker, if somebody wants to cut them off, you can't throw them out, you can't ruin them, etc., those kind of things like that. Okay. However, that's the typical assumption. However, there's a Chiddush in Or Sameach. In all places, you see that you have to know everything to know anything. In Hilchos Parah Aduma, okay, the Or Sameach says the following, okay? Paraduma. He says like this. The din is that the azoy that you use in sprinkling when the paraduma cannot be tamei. Okay? So the Rambam says like this. If a person takes the azoy, cuts it off the ground for eating, I don't know what an azoy is and why you eat it, but we'll believe it. Then it's a food. Food items can become tamei. And therefore, if it even got wet is already enough to be tamei in your paraduma, that's big enough and it's already tamei. It's gone. You can't use it anymore. What happens if you cut it off the ground because you want to use it for as a piece of wood? Or you picked it off the ground because you want to use it for the mitzvah, you were planning on using it with a paraduma, that's why you cut it off the ground, then the din is, it doesn't make a difference, it can't become tummy, it's not food, it can't become tummy, and therefore you can use it for the paraduma. So, the Rosh Hashanah says, what do you see from here? The Rambam says that if you cut it off to use it for the mitzvah, then it's not considered a food item. Okay, it's only if you specifically cut it off as a food item. So he says, you see from here a cloud that when you take something that has potential to be used as a food item, but you cut it off the ground because you want to use it for this mitzvah, you had some mitzvah intention to use this thing for, it automatically does not have the status of food. And therefore, he doesn't say for Hadassim specifically, but he does say for Kedusha Shvias, for the rules of Kedusha Shvias, if you cut something off the ground to use it for a mitzvah, that thing does not have Kedusha Shvias because it's not a food. Okay, you theoretically it's a food, but you didn't cut off the ground for a food, and therefore it does not have Kedusha Shvias. We're going to talk more about Sar Sameach as we go on today. But in the Hadassim, that would mean is, if I plant and cut off Hadassim in order to do for the mitzvah, which is most of the Hadassim that we get, we don't just walk into a florist and say, hey, I'll take three of those, and use them for the mitzvah. We take them because we take one that was specifically cut for the mitzvah. Then according to this Chiddush of this Or Sameach, but according to this Chiddush of the Or Sameach, they should not have Kedusha Shvias. Okay? We're going to come back to this person. He has more to say on what we're talking about today.
Okay. I think that's the smell of the
aluminum. I don't know if you're
talking about
that. What?
It's focused on the smell, so you're not supposed to smell the estrogen.
So here, it's even better here, because here.
Because why?
Because when you're cutting it off, you don't want it for fragrance.
But people cut off Hadassim, that is what they're for. I mean, when you go to the florist, they sell them for fragrance. That's why they sell them. I'm saying that right. It is an item that that is meant for food use.
But even without far, I've done alcohol. You should still be able to say that you're not cutting it off. Even if
So what it is like this. If you have a food that generally is has a certain use that has Kiddush HaShvi'is, and you have one guy didn't cut off for that, that doesn't help. Okay, so if it's 50-50, like some people use this and that, depends on your kabbana. But if it overrules the thing, if you take an apple, you can't say apples don't have Kiddush HaShvi'is because I wanted to decorate my sukkah with them. You mean an apple's an apple. You know?
So it would depend on how Hadassim or what they're grown for? Let's say most Ashkenazi
Hadassim. So, okay, so if you're going to tell me that in the world most Hadassim are growing for the mitzvah, then yeah, you would be right. But I'm coming from a different angle. That this specific plant was planted for the mitzvah or was cut off for the mitzvah, that's Ursa Mech wants to say. He's not talking about Hadassim. You'll hear what he's talking about in a minute. But he says it's with anything that's.
It's a little sharp. It's here. The mitzvah is the Fukim what you're growing for.
The mitzvah is specifically not to smell. Right. You're saying if here the mitzvah is to not smell, is there an isser to smell before sukkahs or after sukkahs? Well, it doesn't make it usher to smell.
I'm saying you don't even have the option of
you do. You can smell before and after.
You have food, right? You have something which can be used as a food and something can be used as not food, right? So you say, okay, you don't want to use food. We're using it for here. What you want to be using it for is even a fuke. Can't even use it for
what's wrong. Maybe. Okay. Now, Esrei. Okay, the next one we talk about is Esrei. We saw some time ago, that there's a machlokes, whether an esrig's status depends on when you cut off the ground, or whether it had its chanata, when it had its beginning of its growing, certain stage of the beginning of the growing. The din is, the ikra din we say is that it follows chanata, and therefore the esrig of Shemitah is the esrig that we have in the eighth year, right after Sukkot. But the Rambam holds that, and there's a sheet in the Gemara, that it goes basa l'kita when you pick it off the ground. And therefore, that's not the din to be machmir for that, but in practice, that's what people do. And the esrogim that are used in the seventh year are picked before Rosh Hashanah, in order to avoid picking them during Shemitah. Okay. We also saw, when we talked about Tzchayra, that the Mishnah says that there's an isser to buy perishvias, because if you buy them from somebody, among the other things, is if you're going to end up giving the money to someone who's not going to treat it with Kiddush HaShvi'is, the money should make Shvi'is Namaretz, and therefore the Mishnah says is, what you should do is, the Mishnah talks about the scar of it, and we're going to have more to say about that as well, and therefore the Mishnah says if you buy the something without Kiddush HaShvi'is, and the Esrei comes along with it. Okay, that way you have to change for that thing. Okay, another thing we spoke about for Esrei, we've talked about, just giving you some back other stuff that we've done already, is that, if let's say a person would get an Esrei, that was from a person who did not keep Shemitah. Okay, we saw that, so the potential problems with the Esrog are Meshumer and Nevad, and we saw that the Ikar Din is to be Mekel about those. There are those who are Machmer, the Ikar Din is to be Mekel, and therefore, if you got an Esrog which was Meshumer and Nevad, I mean, I got an Esrog from someone who didn't keep Shemitah, then the Din is that it would be Mutter to use there, yeah. Okay, it would be kosher for the Mitzvah. Well, Maisa, that's not true. That's not where the Esrog can come from. People who grow Esrogim for the Mitzvah are trying to make it that everyone can use them, they grow them in Eretz Bezdin. People grow their esrogim as Eretz Bezdin, they do keep Shemitah. People are not going to want to buy esrogim that went from someone who didn't keep Shemitah. And there, the big question that people have is, well, one of the dinim of things that have Kedusha Shvi'is, things of Eretz Bezdin have Kedusha Shvi'is, is how can you take that thing and send it to America? How can I, one of the dinim of things with Kedusha Shvi'is is you're not allowed to send it out of Eretz Yisrael. So how can it be that the esrogim that were grown with Kedusha Shvi'is, the people in Eretz Yisrael have no problem with having this esrogim, but how do we get those esrogim? Okay, and there are some taka who are machmir. Chazanish was very strong, and others were even stronger than the Chazanish, about not sending those esrogim to Chatzaretz. I believe the Chazanish was mekel, if that was the only way you were going to get a kosher esrog. The others who are more mekel, and say, no, maybe a goy should take it out of Eretz Yisrael. Or they say, maybe the whole reason not to take it out of Eretz Yisrael is because you want to make sure you do beer, and therefore, if you make sure you're going to send it back for the beer time, that's also going to be good enough. Maybe it's okay because a person's allowed to take out one at a time, so Bezin is taking it out for all of us one at a time. Maybe that's okay. There's the possibilities. Lemaisa is we are going to have a shrugim from Eretz Yisrael. That's what's going to happen. We are going to have a shrugim from
Eretz Yisrael.
And most people are not going to send it back. Now, it's going to be a little bit of a game, which is you really have to send it back for beer. Okay, but the beer for Esrogim is not right after Sukkot. You know, a week after Sukkot, my Esrogim is going to not need beer anymore. It's going to be all dried out and not need beer anyhow. So, in theory, they're sending it to us that we should send it back in time for beer, but in practice, by the time the beer comes, it's not going to need to be sent back. You know, so,
it feels like return of those.
Return of those, yeah, exactly. So, maybe...
Yeah, post the paper.
But the you know, mean is, a person can't make Esrog jelly out of their Esrog this year. If you have an esrog from Eretz Yisrael, you want to make esrog jelly, I mean, you can make esrog jelly, you're just going to have to eat it up by the time it comes time of beer. Okay, you're going to have to get rid of it in time for, and you have to follow all the rules of how to use things with Kedusha Shvias. If you want to do that.
What's my beer on
esrog? I don't know, but... Is that what it is?
Somewhere around.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, eat your esrog jelly by then.
What should you do with your esrog?
So what happens is once it dries out, once it's not edible anymore, you don't need to do beer on it anymore. So, I mean, but if he said Tubishrat at the time, by Tubishrat, my esrog is going to be long gone. I mean, it's going to be hopeless. It's not going to be... So the chiv, you wouldn't be able to throw it in the garbage. Not regularly, you could throw your esrog in the garbage. Chiv has kedusha shvias. Yeah, I mean, when it's edible. Yeah, well, it's still usable. When the day after sukkahs, min hadin, you're allowed to throw in the garbage. So that you couldn't do now. I guess you could eat it if you want to, but you know, again, you're not mechuyev to eat it. You just let it sit around. Okay. Some other things we saw about that is Bezdin is only allowed to charge, the Eretz Bezdin is only allowed to charge for their labor and packaging and shipping and things like that. They're not allowed to charge for the fruit itself. And Mamela, we saw that they can't say that this esrog costs $5 and this esrog costs $10, because what's the difference in this one and that one? The same effort went into making both esrogans. So they're not allowed to charge, and the way they do that to be even more advanced is they make them closed boxes. Okay, you don't even get to pick which one you want to. But that's not really the thing. You don't really have to close boxes. But if they had open boxes, people would pay more for certain ones. No, they tend to do it if they do it in closed boxes. And they say, you're getting from Eretz Bezdin because this is how much it costs for the esrog for the delivery, blah, 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 blah. And that's it. No more, no other, no cost for the thing. We saw that the practice is they make tiers. Okay? This is, if you remember, we spoke about this, that people were uncomfortable, but they make tiers. In other words, these will be $10 or $20 or $30 or okay, eat in closed boxes, which is to say, like, more or less mechuter, even though really there shouldn't be, and we asked that at that time, we spoke about that, but mechuter, they should be the same. You're paying for the delivery. It doesn't cost more to deliver a kosher esrog than a puzzle esrog. But that's in practice what they do, and whatever. Look the other way. It really, what it is that in order for Bezdin to be functional and to earn their money for all the effort they put into it, this is a business practice that they're allowed to do.
The less you pay, the more mechuder
it is? The less you pay me because you're not charging the mechuder. That's one way to look at it.
So okay. Bezdin never creates them. It's the
merchant. The merchants. The merchants are only allowed to sell. They're not allowed to charge for the fruit. So if Bezdin says to them, these are sug aleph, these are sug beis, these are sug gimel, they break them into parts and tell the guy, okay, these charge $10, $20, $30 for it, then they're not doing this most of it. That the person who's...
I'm paying for the lulav, really.
So if you pay for the lulav, that's what the Mishnah says, but we're going to talk about that. If you pay for the lulav, then you should get the esrog, any esrog you want to for free. Mm-hmm. Why this different grades of esrogim? You're saying, I'm getting the esrog for free. Okay, I'll take whichever one I want to. So I want the sug aleph one. You say, no. Well, your price, you only get a sug gimel. What do you mean? What? They're all the same. And I am allowed to pay for the esrog. I'm allowed to pay for all the non-fruit parts of the esrog. For how much it costs them to pick up the tree and to water the trees when they were allowed to.
It's the same
to a box.
The guy can't say, let's say he has different grades of the lulav. You can't say, if you take a type of a lulav and I'm charging you $150 for the lulav, then you can take a type of your esrog?
How can he? He's the representative of Bezdin. All he did was pull off the fruit off the tree and bring it to town. He's allowed to charge you for the delivery cost.
I'm not paying anything for the esrog.
So why is he allowed to tell you which esrog you're allowed to take? The esrog?
Why not? Why not?
No, because...
You're not selling anything altogether, right?
It's not his. It's Hefker. Anyone's allowed to take them. What there is that he could charge you for all these delivery costs, all these side costs. So he's allowed to charge you for those things. As a representative of Bezdin, okay, so I can pay that. I can't walk off 10 esrog them. I have to pay them for that. But why are you telling me which one I should take? Did it cost you more to package the good esrog than the worst esrog? No, it's silly. That's what I'm saying.
Unless it's possible, I think I have an obligation to say that he can charge a discount for...
You're playing games.
I know.
If you charge more for one than another, you're paying for the extra.
Okay.
I gotta move on, guys. We have too much to do. Okay. One little last thing. I'll remind you that Rabbi Yashav had said was that there's a kula that you're left to do melachos through rabbanon. In order to keep a tree growing, or for the fruit to grow well, if you remember that from way long ago, Rabbi Yashu said, that's only to make the fruit more appealing, more edible, etc. It's not to do things that make it more mechuter for mitzvah. Okay, that's not, there's no kula to do things, so if you want to do melachas to make your esrog be beautiful for the mitzvah, no deal. You could water it so that you'll actually have an esrog, but not do things to it that would protect it for the mitzvah. Okay, now, I told you that the Ursamech says that if you pick something off for the mitzvah, if you grow something and pick it for the mitzvah, then it has no Kedusha Shviz to it. So he says, so you think that's the same thing for Esrog also? So maybe Esrog shouldn't have, Esrog is edible, but hey, you did it for the mitzvah, so maybe it shouldn't have Kedusha Shviz. He says, I know that that's wrong.
Why is that?
He says, I know that it's wrong, because there's a Yerushalmi in Arla that says, if you pick an Esrog for the mitzvah, does that have Kedusha Shviz or not? He says, what's Yerushalmi specific about? What's going on? Didn't I just tell you that there's a rule that if you did it for the mitzvah that it doesn't have Kedusha Shviz? He says, so what's going on in Yerushalmi? So he says, no, Esrog is different. All other mitzvahs, if you pick it for the mitzvah, it doesn't have Kedusha, it's not considered an Eichel. But by Esrog, there's a special din that Gemara says, that an Esrog has to be Royal Achila. Okay? I'm not 100% understanding how he says this, but we'll accept his word on it, that an Esrog has to be Royal Achila. The Gemara does say something like that. Has to be Royal Achila, and therefore, when a person is picking an Esrog for the mitzvah, they are subconsciously picking something for eating. Because if it wouldn't be fit for eating, then they wouldn't be picking it for the mitzvah. The mitzvah needs it to be something that's suitable for eating. Hadassim don't need that, but Esrogim do need that. An Ezer for a Paraduma doesn't need to be fit for eating, but an Esrog needs to be fit for eating. So when I say I'm growing this and I'm picking this in order to do the mitzvah with it, I'm, without realizing what I'm saying, I'm taking something that's Royal Achila. And therefore the Yerushalmi is Mesupik, maybe that's enough to consider it that I took a La'orichal. I didn't really. I really took it for the mitzvah. But there's some kind of a background thought of it has to be for Achila. That's Yerushalmi Mesupik. Maybe that makes it considered that I took it for the Achila also. Now, obviously, everyone seems to assume, as he does, that we're machmir on that shayla. Okay? We're machmir on that shayla, that the fact that in order to be kosher for the mitzvah, it has to be Royal Achila, means that I have in mind for Achila also, even though I didn't. No, most people that I know don't eat the Esrog. They don't have any in mind to eat it. But having one for the mitzvah includes that you have it in mind for the achilos. Okay. Next. Now we're finished with Esrog, and our last one is a lulav. The lulav is like this. The Mishnah that I told you that says that what you do if you want to buy an Esrog on Shemitah, an Esrog of Shemitah says if you want to buy the Esrog, it doesn't say that. If you buy a lulav on Shemitah, then the person should give you the Esrog with it. Why? Because the implication is the lulav has no kedusha shviz. You're allowed to pay whatever you want to for the lulav. You don't have to worry about giving shmita the money to somebody. No kedusha gets on the money for buying the lulav. And then the esrog, he gives you along with it. And the esrog, now you didn't give any money for the thing with kedusha shviz, and therefore the money that you gave him doesn't have any kedusha to it.
Why didn't he give you the eitzah by the lulav? Why didn't you give me the
eitzah
also by the
arabas? By the arabas, that's a question. I'm not sure if I know the eitzah question. Okay. So all of them. Okay, so the question is like this. Now, the Gemara doesn't know what to do with that. The Gemara says, really? What does it help to buy the lulav? The lulav also has kedusha shviz. So what did you gain by buying a lulav and getting an esrog with it? Lulavim also have kedusha shviz. So most people, when they read the Gemara, they're scratching their head. Lulav has kedusha shviz? You ever see anybody eat a lulav? What are you talking about? Who eats lulav? So, I mean, you eat the dates that grow on a lulav tree, but you don't eat the lulav, it's just a piece of wood. So the Rashi explains, later in the Gemara, Rashi explains that what it means is like this. A lulav can be used as a broom. In order to have kedusha shviz, it doesn't have to only be edible. We saw that it's anything that's called hana'asin or biur shava, and certain other criteria means the way when you use it, that also destroys it. That also destroys it. That's in the trunk. That when you use it, you destroy it. It has kedusha shviz, and therefore, when a person uses a broom, the use of the broom sweeping the floor is what eventually wears out the leaves, wears out the broom. So it's hana'asin of yirun shava, and therefore, even though nobody eats palm branches, even so it has kedusha shviz, because it's something that the hana'ah, it grows in the ground, and the hana'ah and the beer happen at the same time, the destruction and the benefit from it happen at the same time. So the Gemara says that it has kedusha shviz. I'm going to tell you in a second, well, if it has kedusha shviz, how do we answer its question, right? So what happened? The Gemara says, I think in short, the Gemara says is it's talking about that you had a lulav. You had a lulav from before Shemitah, and the esrog that was from on Shemitah. Okay? It's so the mishnah look, the mishnah you bought the lulav is because it happened to work out that you had a lulav from before shmita. I'll explain to you what that means in a second. Okay, so the question is, if you look in the Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam, you see that the Rambam says, he brings the mishnah that says if you buy the lulav and you get the esrog with it. And he says, and you know why you could... In general, it does. In the case of the mishnah, it happens to not have Kedusha Shvias.
Came from the year before.
And where? And Arabis, Stam Arabis?
Stam Arabis do not have any Kedusha Shvias. None. No difference between any good. Because a lulav is used as a broom. People don't use our rubber brooms.
Because you
could
use it as a broom.
Because a typical use is used as a broom. So, in the Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam says, he brings this mishnah, says you should buy the lulav and you get the esrog with it. So the Rambam says, and the lulav, you know why you're allowed to buy the lulav? Because lulav is a piece of wood, and wood doesn't have any kedusha shvias to it. No. So the Quran said, wait a second. That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said it's special because it's from the sixth year. So the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos says that, just as an aside. If you look in the newer versions of the Pirush Mishnayos, the new translations of the Arabic, bring that in the, if you look at the Ksav Yad, the handwritten versions of the Arabic Rambam, It says the reason why the lulav doesn't have Kedusha Shvias is it's from the sixth year. And since it's from the sixth year, it doesn't have Kedusha Shvias, exactly like the Gemara says. And there is a line drawn across it. And in the Rambam's handwriting, he says the pshat that it says right now, which is that it's because wood, lulav don't have Kedusha Shvias. Okay? Lulav don't have Kedusha Shvias. Okay? So what's going on over here? So, what happened? The Gemara says not like that. I mean, it would be dramatic. It would be bad enough just to see it, but to see it, you crossed it out and rewrote the new pshat. I mean, what happened over here? The Gemara says that it does have kedusha shvius to it. And then you look in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, and the Rambam brings the Mishnah as is. He says if you buy the lulav and get the rhythm, he goes on and on. Doesn't say anything about it being from the sixth year. So what happened? What's going on over here? Well, what happened to the Gemara that says no, lulav do have a kedusha shvius? The Rambam is saying it the way we would have read it, which that lulav don't have kedusha shvius. The Gemara says that they do have kedusha shvius.
Doesn't say anything on that.
I'm going to get to that in a second. So I'm going to tell you two answers that Chaim gives that. The Kapas tomorrow on right there on the Gemara circle. Says, okay, I don't have time to explain you this whole thing. The Gemara in Daf Mem is talking about something else about Kedusha Shvias. The Gemara says over there that Eitz in the Mishkan, there's certain kinds of wood that theoretically should have Kedusha Shvias. The Gemara thinks that it does, and the Gemara says, you know what? Basically, most wood is not Hanas of Yerun Shava, and therefore, even though this wood is Hanas of Yerun Shava, doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. That's what the Gemara says. A certain piece of wood, one type of wood, one says, nah, it doesn't. All the wood looks at the same. We don't divide one piece of wood from another piece of wood. They're all the same, and they don't have Kedusha Shvias. So he says, when the Gemara said that, it was a chazara from this original assumption. Even though we would assume that palm branches that use as brooms are Hanas of Yerun Shava, in the end of the Gemara it said, all wood is looked at the same. Basically, wood can't be used for anything that's Hanas of Yerun Shava, and therefore, the Gemara was chazer from its assumption that Lulavim have Kedusha Shvias. That's the Kapas Tamar says. Dar Sameach says, remember I told Dar Sameach? Dar Sameach says, when you cut off a lulav for the mitzvah, I don't care if theoretically palm branches have Kedusha Shvias, because you can use them to sweep your house. That's for a regular palm branch. If I cut off a palm branch in order to do the mitzvah with it, then that palm branch inherently cannot have Kedusha Shvias to it. I picked it up for the mitzvah, it automatically does not have this step.
I asked
her. So he said, esrog was special. Remember, the esrog was a special thing. A little automatically doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. So he says, wait a second, you guys were good to me. But the Gemara says it does. So what I'm telling you, based on the Rambam and Memphis part of Duma, that it doesn't. He says, what are you talking about? But the Gemara right here in Sukkah says that it does have it. So he says that Lushi Tassel. He says, the Gemara in this Rambam that I told you, I took his part of Duma, about the Ezer, if you cut it from the mitzvah, it's actually a machlokes in a Mishnah, in Masechtas Parah. Okay? A Mishnah in Masechtas Parah. And who are the names? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon say that it has, if it's cut off from the mitzvah, it has no Kedusha. And Rabbi Meir says that it does have Kedusha. Okay? So, our Gemara is going to Stam Mishnah Rav Meir. The Mishnah assumed, when we read this Mishnah, we assumed it's going according to Rav Meir. And Rav Meir says that palm branch, that Ezer is considered a food, even if you cut it off for the mitzvah. So the Gemara has a question, so then a lulav should also have that. But the din is that we're passing like Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Shimon, that has no kedush, and therefore the whole gemara, we don't have to worry about the whole gemara. That's what he says. So now, that's his answer. So he wants to say, so the din is really, lulav do not have kedush shviyas because they have cut off for the mitzvah. So my question, Yanki, you're missing your question. I'm taking his part. You can leave. I'm asking your question. So my question on that is, I'm going to try to finish it. Matt, you go.
I want to hear the answer.
The question is, why are we hearing this question? Okay, can someone tell me, why are we hearing this question from Kapis Tamarim and from the Ursamer? Why isn't anybody on the pages in this question? Okay, why don't we? How come we open up the Rambam? We didn't see the people on the pages in this question. Rabbi Kvager, yeah, in Mishnah Torah. Rabbi Kvager on Mishnayis, he's having a Pirush on Mishnayis. He sees that the Rav says like the Rambam says in Pirush on Mishnayis. So he says, I don't understand this. What's going on over here? What happened to the Gemara? I mean, if you write a Pirush on this, it's an obvious question. What's going on over here? You know what Rabbi Kvager says? He says, I don't know what the answer is. He says, and then I saw the Kapis Tamarim ask the question. He doesn't say his answer. He just said, I saw he asked the question, I'm talking right, that the Gemara said not like this. Okay, so where is everybody? Why, when we open up Mishnah Torah, do you not see the people? Why are people saying something to the Gemara? What's chazer from it? It's gone quinter, only with quinter mayor. Say something. Well, where is everybody on the page saying, there were a lot of people lived before the Ursamech? You know, between the Ram and the Ursamech? There's lots of Pirushim. Why isn't someone like, talk about this? It seems like a pretty obvious thing. The Gemara says that it's only in a very specific case. It makes me wonder that maybe Shad is not like that. Makes me wonder that. It makes me wonder like this. I don't know if I'm right. I'll tell you what I think. The Kapis Tamarim is saying that the Rambam is Lashitasa to what he says in Pirush HaMishnayos. And I'm wondering if Lashitasa to a different Rambam, not to this Rambam. Which is, if you remember, when we spoke, I mentioned it at the beginning of the day today, but we talked about it before, that in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni, the Rambam paskins that Esrig is Basra Lakita. An Esrig Kedusha is treated by the year when you pull it off the ground. Most Rishonim disagree with that. From Chagas and the Gemara, most Rishonim Paskin, that know an Esrig is Basra Chanata. The Rama hold that is Basra Lakita. So now, when the Gemara said, the Gemara asked the question, doesn't a Lulav have Kedusha Shvius? So the Gemara says, well, it's talking about that the Lulav was from the sixth year and the Esrig was from the seventh year. Isn't that a strange case? I mean, what a crazy Hechetimsa. How could you bring that in and not say that there's this unusual Hechetimsa? I don't think that's a question. The Chiddush of the Gemara is not that the Lulav is from the sixth year and the Esrog is from the seventh year. It's like this. The Mishnah says, Halakech Lulav Mechaver B'Shvias. You buy Lulav in Shvias. Well, if you buy Lulav in Shvias, if you buy on Shemitah, the Lulav for sure has no Kiddush on it. A Lulav that you buy on Shemitah for sure has no Kiddush. It was bought from the year beforehand. So, what are they even talking about? What, the Esrog also shouldn't have it. So the Chiddush of the Gemara is not that the lulav is from one year and the esrog is from a different year. The chiddush is that we're going only going to one mandamer who holds esrog basa lakita. If esrog is basa lakita, then when it says bishvias, it doesn't mean of shvias, one with kedusha shvias, it means one during the physical year of Shemitah. If you buy an esrog on Shemitah and a lulav on Shemitah, and once we're going according to that mandamer, it's obvious that the esrog has kedusha shvias and the lulav does not have kedusha shvias, because a lulav bought on Shemitah is from the year before Shemitah, and the esrog. And the esrog is, you just bought it now. You just took it off the tree now. So it has, of course, it does have kedusha. So once, if you pass on the Rambam, that esrog is basa lakita, and I say, I'm buying a lulav and an esrog on Shemitah, I don't have to tell you that the esrog has kedusha and the lulav doesn't have kedusha. It's obvious. If I buy the esrog on Shemitah, when you're on Shemitah, the esrog is from Shemitah, and the lulav is from before Shemitah. It's automatic. That, but the Gemara has, the chiddush of the Gemara is not that it's talking about this strange case. The chiddush of the Gemara is that it's going according to the Bani Amar that treats Esrog and lulav differently. Most people would think not like that. Most people think.
So you're saying that's what the Rambam means when he says the lulav doesn't have kiddush Shemitah?
No, I'm not talking about the Pirush Mishnayos. I'm talking about in the Mishnah Torah. He brings the Mishnah. If you buy a lulav on Shemitah, then you should buy the lulav and get Esrog with it. What? There's no chiddush to that. If you buy a lulav on Shemitah, a lulav bought on Shemitah is a lulav from the sixth year.
The Rambam doesn't say in Mishnah Torah that because a lulav doesn't have.
No, he doesn't say that. Only the Pirush Mishnayos. No, he just brings the Mishnah word for it. I'm not sure word for it from the Mishnah. If you buy a lulav on Shemitah, this is what you should do. Well, if I buy a lulav on Shemitah, the lulav is automatically from before Rambam Lashita. Sorry, the lulav is automatically a Shishas lulav, and the Esrog is automatically a Shvias lulav. Because This was, they were commercial. They bought an Essen and they walked over the tree and they took it off the tree on the day before Sukkot. So once the Ma'al Paschal that Essen is Basel Lakita, then the Mishnah reads, the Mishnah, it's obvious that the case of the Mishnah is that the wool is from the 6th year and the Essen is from the 7th year. It sort of goes hand in hand. If you're Bishvias, in other words, you could read the Mishnah, Bishvias means of the Kedusha of Shvias. But the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. Bishvias is literal on Shvias, on the 7th year. Sukkot is on the 7th year. It's right at the beginning. The Lulav has no Kedusha because it's from the 6th year, and the Esrog is from the 7th year.
Why we know that you got the Lulav beforehand?
No, the Lulav goes Basar Chanata.
Oh,
the Lulav
for sure happened.
For sure, that's in the 6th year. That's obvious that the Chanata of the Lulav happened during the 6th year. No, I mean, Lulav no Lulav fears. And obviously it happened during the 6th year. And the Esrog goes Basar Lakita. It goes when you pulled it off the day before Sukkot. You pulled it off the ground. So once the Chiddush of the Gemara is just that, we're going to quit that Maniomar. Once we're in that Maniomar, that the case is not the Chiddush. The case, even though that's what it sounds like, one's from one year, one's from a different year, that's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that they have different statuses. Okay, now, all that I told you about Lulavim is, I can only use it, almost theoretical. Well, many people think it's theoretical. That's because, Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, he says this whole discussion works with an assumption that a Lulav might have Kedusha Shvias because you use it for a broom. Okay, that's the whole basis that the Gemara had, why a Lulav should have Kedusha Shvias, because Hanas of Yerun Shavah. He says, nobody in my neighborhood uses a Lulav for a broom. You see anybody walking around using a broom? I mean, no, there's such a thing. I actually found you could buy a Lulav broom, I mean, a wicker or whatever, you know, a palm branch broom. But I mean, regular people don't use palm branches. I don't know what they do with that, but they don't use it for that. Yes, you can buy it. But he says, nobody else does that. He says, so what do I care that there's, in the times of the Gemara, that might have been a normal way to use a Lulav. He says, but that has nothing to do with me. Now, he says, he's answering a question from the, he's answering a question. He said like this. The person who asked the question said to him, well, you know, we had this shayla beforehand. He says, remember we had a shayla about orange peels? You see, should we treat orange peels as kedusha, or let's say other fruit peels, as kedusha shvias, because animals can eat them? And the shayla we had there was, the fact that animals can eat them, does that mean anything? What do I mean? I mean is that animals can eat it, but there are no animals here in town that can eat them. Okay? So if I'm in 50 in Illinois, and I have cows to feed it to, then I have to worry about the animals can have Kedusha Shvias. But if I live in Chicago, there aren't any cows around to eat these leftovers. So I can't say, there are those who say, then, which he thinks is correct, that it has no Kedusha Shvias. The fact that theoretically it could be used, or objectively it could be used, to feed the animals, doesn't have Kedusha Shvias, because there aren't any animals around here. So he says, and even if you want to say that for foods, that might be one thing to say for food items. But this is just a lulav. It's not a food item. The fact that you can use it as a broom, if nobody uses it for a broom, that doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. Okay, now, that leads us to our last thing. Hopefully you appreciate the last thing. Which is, schach. Schach, we're not talking about schach. Okay, which is...
buying from the market. When you have different tier prices,
it's considered acceptable. You shouldn't be paying more for one than the next, but and they do it in closed boxes. They say all the ones in here, these are the olive ones. Those are the best. These are the beige ones. They're not as good. And these are the kosher, but you know they're.
They do that here. I remember Otsa basically when they get the local here.
Yeah.
They do that. They
went
to closed boxes.
I believe so. That's my impression.
Yeah, I've never seen them sell.
We're gonna find out in a few months.
And then you want to have a right to see what you're buying.
Okay, we'll see in a few months. Okay, now, the question is like this.
Somebody left the whole thing here?
Open the box?
I mean, well, if an importer brings in 100,000 boxes of sukkahs, the importer wants it in the market.
Well, what's he going to do if he opens it up? He's going to say, lady, you want that one? That's a really good one. $25 to you. You want a closed box? $15. I'm saying he's charging you for your fruit. But he's not supposed to do that. He's not supposed to. Whether he's going to do it, I don't know. Okay, now, let's just finish up, which is like this. Is there any reason that you could imagine, why bamboo should have Kedusha Shvias to it? Okay, now people eat, bamboo shoots. Okay, but there's any and the bamboo. I'm not saying that the bamboo you buy in Home Depot, seriously, sir, bamboo that you buy there, that's already dried out. That's not a question. What about fresh bamboo? Which I believe you can buy nurses as well. They sell on the street corner. You know, fresh bamboo, just freshly cut off the ground. So,
where are you with the
bamboo? What? I'm getting. So the question is, should you say, here's the question. They're used as animal food. Pandas eat bamboo. So should you say that since pandas eat bamboo, that's basically the whole diet is bamboo. So should you say it's Michael Behema, it's suitable for animals? And should we say that since it's suitable for animals, it should have Kedusha Shvius, because animals eat it.
So now,
let me finish my question. Was it maybe worse during Leishmita? Because in 2005, the Israeli zoo, the biblical zoo in Jerusalem, bought a panda. That was the first time they had it. Well, that I know that they had a panda. They traded it for a giraffe and 50,000 shekels. I'm sorry, two giraffes and 50,000 shekels. They got a panda. Okay, Shimon. They call him Simon. Shimon. And so they bought him. So during the last Shemitah, they had a panda. Now, in 2012, there was a Leviah, and Simon the panda died. Okay, so he didn't make it to the Shemitah. So last Shemitah, did they have a more serious question? Because there was a panda in Yerushalayim who could eat bamboo. So was that a Shaila? Or should we say, come on guys, one panda, one Meshuggah panda who eats it, we shouldn't care about that. Or, as David just reminded us, I was going to say, when I was in Hong Kong, okay, in the Mong Kok mall, this is huge outdoor, I mean, blocks and blocks of a zillion people selling everything. Yeah, and they sell bamboo juice. I don't know why I want to tell you, but I had some. They stick a bamboo, stick it through a juicer, and out comes this green, horrific-looking liquid, which tastes almost as good as it looks. And
bamboo.
Fresh bamboo, and they put it in. So should we say, because in China, in Hong Kong, there are people who are paying money to eat this stuff, so it's not Michael Behema, it's Michael Odom. People can eat this stuff. Okay, what do we say? Hello, you know, if you have to go to Mong Kok to buy this stuff, and nobody in Beitar eats this, I'm the one with sugar. Okay, but I wasn't the only one. This guy had to stay, not just for me. You know, he had to stay, not just you know. So should we say? So seemingly, it's going to depend on the same question that I said to you just a second ago about the love nowadays, or we talked about for Michael Behema. If we look at something in its objective sense, is it royal achila? Is it royal achila? Like we said, peels of fruits. Yeah, animals can eat them. Or the love, they could be used for sweeping, but when I said no one's using them for that. So there are those who want to be mach on that child. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he doesn't talk about bamboo sticks and mankak. Well, he doesn't know about that. But he says to them, he says, every single branch has some animal who eats it. He's been, a little, putting stuff on the limb, so to speak, but everybody's eating something, everybody's eating. He says, come on, we can't think about every crazy way there is to eat something. He says, how can you tell me that objective, in theory, is there anyone who eat this? Eucalyptus leaves, they eat, giraffes eat them, so they have Kedusha Shvius them? I mean, come on. So we have to just, so he says, therefore, he thinks it's correct that a person should judge things only by what's in his going on l'maisa. If we live in Chicago, or you live in Beit Shemesh, and people in that town, they use it in a certain way, that's Hamas of Yerushalayim, or they use it for Michael Adam, Michael Hamel, has Kedusha Shvius. If it's not l'maisa used in your place, you don't have to worry about the fact that theoretically it's used for that. So according to him, we would be safe.